Welcome to this Christmas Day service where we may praise the Lord for the greatest gift ever given, the gift of His Son. And let's read about the coming of the Savior as found in the familiar passage, Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses, Luke 2, 1 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We want to consider this passage under the theme, "It's just so very amazing." Dear congregation belonging to Christ, having read again Luke 2, 1 to 20, the theme for the sermon this Christmas day is simply this: it's just so very amazing. Indeed, as expressed in a poem, it's just so very amazing, the story of Jesus' birth, when to the earth He came, for evil sinners to save. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. Oh, come and let us worship. Promised seed, Emmanuel. Jesus, Redeemer, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. This taxation by Caesar. Their trip to Bethlehem. So as Micah had foretold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. For so it was. Jesus' birth. Stables, manger, His crib. Great royal Son of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. Angelic songs in praises. To shepherds in the dark. And ponderings of Mary's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. God's dearly beloved Son. For salvation complete, Jesus Himself our peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's all so very amazing. 20 verses of gospel, sacred, glorious facts. Oh, bow down, love and adore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. About this poem, there's something you won't realize unless I tell you. Each line of the poem consists of 20 letters. I came up with it when reflecting on the whole passage together. The story, the well-known story of Luke 2,
1 to 20.
We know it so well. Yet none of us can ever draw out all it has to tell us. I never forget an older man, almost 90, at an annual Christmas seniors meeting in my first congregation. Someone else read at that meeting the Christmas story of Jesus' birth from a children's story Bible. And how that old man listened with rapt and reverent joy, with tears coming down his eyes, just in so much appreciation for the good news story once again. If it is well, beloved, never can we or should we become tired of what God proclaims to us in the tidings of Jesus' birth. Especially also with Luke 2, 1 to 20. It's all so very amazing. To bring it out in some detail this service, let's go over the passage, noticing the following amazing gospel points. For one, think of the decree that was made. When the time for Jesus' birth should come, even as God had planned it from eternity and foretold of it thousands of years, notice how by God's sovereign providence, world leaders helped it happen without them even realizing it, helped it happen as God had planned it. We may say about Caesar Augustus that he was one of the greatest and mightiest rulers in all the history of the world. He ruled over the Roman Empire, you could say, when it was at its peak in history. Caesar Augustus was a heathen and a godless man, but he was a brilliant statesman. And he helped spread worldwide even the era of Roman peace and prosperity and stability for many years. And it helped serve the whole gospel cause. Now Luke tells us it was during his rule to promote the administration and subjection of his vast empire that Caesar Augustus had ordered this decree that everyone should be taxed or registered for taxation in the city where they came from. And verse 2 tells us that it was the responsibility of each ruler in every territory to take care that this decree would take place and be accomplished. So verse 2 tells us, Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, who had the jurisdiction over the area of Palestine, he also took care that this would be fulfilled, this decree of Caesar. And so it was, as verse 3 tells us, all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Well, with this all, we need to notice here how Luke places the story of Jesus' birth in actual, factual history. He refers to more men of the times in the unfolding of his gospel account, making clear that the story of Jesus Christ from beginning to end, with his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, it's not an imaginary story. It's not a fairy tale here. It's not a nice folklore that you can like or not like. No, this all happened in history, as God had foretold and promised. God came in the flesh into this world to be the Savior of sinners. And that fact, that story of Jesus' birth is not something made up by man, but it is the living truth and its actual, credible history. What the first three verses of Luke 2 also make very plain is how God was overruling and guiding everything for the purpose of the birth of His Son. We see in this passage God's leading and overruling hand in all the decisions and plans of men. What you and I need to realize, that this is still taking place today, isn't it? I mean, we as people, we make our decisions. And the rulers in the world, they rule and they make their laws and decrees. But be assured, God is working through it all and in spite of it all, for the coming and the establishment of His supremely glorious and eternal kingdom. You don't read Luke 2 rightly if with it you fail to realize about God as revealed in Christ that surely His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Nothing will frustrate or prevent God's plans, and in fact all in history will serve for the fulfillment of His plans. this Christmas Day 2013, we may confess and believe all of history revolves around Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, whose birth was in Bethlehem. History is ultimately His story from beginning to end. That's the gospel truth. And God's promise is for all who trust and obey Him that all things, whatever, you name it, all things work together for good to them that love God and His Son, whom He has sent. Truly, Jesus is the Savior of sinners for as many as trust and follow Him. Don't we have to say how good it is to worship Him? And isn't His birth story just so very amazing? It's so very amazing, not just for the decree that was made, but secondly, consider that trip that was taken. Yes, that trip made to Bethlehem by Joseph and Mary, while Mary was great with child, meaning she was very close to her delivery date. Luke goes on, doesn't he, to tell us this matter. He tells us how Caesar's decree affected Joseph and Mary, the mother and adopted father of baby Jesus. What did the decree mean for them? Well, they had to make that long trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a distance of about 150 kilometers, following the normal route given from Galilee to Judea. Why did they have to go to Bethlehem? It was because that is where their family had originally come from. Both Joseph and Mary being from the house and family line of David. Being of David's lineage, they had to register in what was known as the city of David. For that is where the long ago King David himself had been born. So you see, here is the special couple from Nazareth heading for Bethlehem to get enrolled or registered as required. It is not certain whether it was required that Mary come along, especially under her circumstances, with her almost due to deliver her baby. But Joseph would not leave her alone in Nazareth, would he? No, for you can imagine how hard that would be for her and for him. No, Joseph and Mary would be together when the baby was born. And Mary realized they needed to be together, no doubt. It could be, too, that Joseph and Mary maybe realized something that God wanted the Christ child born in Bethlehem. I'm not sure about that. I don't know what you think about that. The point to highlight, though, is do you see here how God took care that the Christ child who was of the seed of David and the great son of David should also be born in Bethlehem? Why? Well, already 700 years earlier with the prophet Micah in Micah 5 verse 2. The Lord had clearly foretold that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the promised Messiah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of towns and cities of Judah, yet out of thee, O little town of Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. See, though neither Mary or Joseph were living in Bethlehem, and were in fact living far from there, especially in those times, yet lo and behold, Mary's firstborn son, baby Jesus, gets born in Bethlehem of Judea. God uses a decree from an unbelieving, mighty ruler to help accomplish this promise and plan of His. Do you see the awesomeness of this with me, dear congregation, each and every one? What also comes out with extra clarity with Jesus' birth story and Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem for the census is that indeed Jesus was born as the son of David from the family line of David. Both Jesus being born in Bethlehem and from the house of David may not seem so important at first glance. Yet just reflecting on these details with Jesus' birth brings out so much more how reliable the promises of God are. Indeed, how totally trustworthy, even against the greatest odds, is God's holy word. In a world of so much falsehood and lying and deceit, isn't this good to have underlined for us and stressed to us, to you and to me? You can count on God. You can bank your money on His Word. God is always true to His Word. With Jesus' first coming, all the prophecies and promises concerning His coming have been fulfilled as foretold. Wonderfully so even. Yes, for just think here, dear congregation, of how special it is that Jesus, the Savior, was to be born in Bethlehem. That's so meaningful just by itself. That God would have His Savior Son come from heaven, be born on earth in that specific place. Why? Well, think of what Bethlehem means. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. And Ephratah, Bethlehem Ephratah, means fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. The village of Bethlehem is situated on a hill about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, surrounded by fertile fields. God determined that Jesus, His Son, who would come and who later would speak of Himself as the bread of life, that He should be born in a village known as the fruitful house of bread, Bethlehem Ephratah. And again, you see, isn't God relating here a gospel message with this by itself for us? He surely is. He's telling us with this all, my Savior Son, whom I'm giving to this world, He will be the bread of life and the source of unending fruitfulness for sinners, even for as many as repent and believe on Him. That Jesus should be born in Bethlehem, where the great King David was born, was reason by itself, and is reason by itself, to have so much hope and expectation concerning Him. What a blessing. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. King David was such a blessing to Israel. Well, how much more would not Jesus, the great Son of David? The whole gospel message is, He's the bread of life we may draw from and be fed and become fruitful through, truly. Let sinners come to Him and be fed. We read in the Gospels more than once how Jesus stopped and wonderfully helped and saved those who called out to Him, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. You see, this is the Gospel also for us still today. And it's truly amazing, isn't it? Yes, we go on for a third reason to say about Luke 2, 1-20 that it's just so very amazing. And that is, think of the situation when Jesus was born. I mean, that there was no room in the inn for when they came to Bethlehem. No place for Mary. No private room with a soft bed to give birth to her firstborn son. No room for the divine miracle child Jesus, the promised Messiah King. No room for Him. Oh, how telling and typical, isn't it, of all history. With fallen mankind, sinful and blind. Do we, you and I, do have room for everything and everyone, but no room for Jesus, the Savior of sinners? How many, sadly, also this Christmas day have no room for Jesus, no room for Him in their hearts, no desire or realized need for Him to be born in their heart? What about you in this regard? How right and fitting in connection with this question are the words of Philip Brooks with the one stanza of the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, which we hope to sing with the Sunday School program. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels sing the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Is this your prayer and care too today and every day? The true joy of Jesus' birth, come to this world to seek and to save sinners, is not tied to a day or to a Christmas mood or to presents or candles, but to Jesus Himself. It's trusting and following after Him by grace through faith every day as only Savior and Lord. Children and young people, and adults and older ones. God Triune invites us to this joy also today. Blessed be His name. Another fact so significant Still with the situation with Jesus' birth was the poor circumstances in which Jesus was born. With no room in the inn, we know Jesus was born in a stable or cave outside, maybe somewhere behind the inn. The Bible tells us when Jesus was born, Mother Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid baby Jesus in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. In this case, for cattle, chickens, sheep, maybe, though not likely, even some pigs. How unusual, certainly. A manger bed for Jesus. A manger for Jesus' bed. Oh, here too, let's be sure to realize this fact with Jesus' birth is not only just a moving, sweet, idyllic detail about Jesus' birth. No, this too is so much of gospel detail. All designed by God triune from eternity even. Why? To make so abundantly clear to us from the start, Jesus came sinners to save. And this meant for Him bearing the pain and the punishment for sin from His conception and birth even to His last breath and to the grave. Even so, Jesus left the glories and the riches of heaven and He entered into the miseries of this fallen world. And He was subject to so much poverty and pain and trouble as He came to be the sinner's Savior. It was all justly part of His work in the state of humiliation which Jesus, as sin-bearer, gladly took on and perfectly fulfilled. How beautiful the inexhaustible, meaningful word of Paul in this regard in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Where the apostle states, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Do you see with me? It's just so very amazing. Don't you agree? It's just so very amazing. For so it was Jesus' birth. Stables, manger, His crib. Great royal Son of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then consider with me, fourthly, to be more amazed still, the angelic proclamation of Jesus' birth. First, just one angel appeared to tell to the shepherds the good tidings of great joy. But after that, after He told the good news that the Messiah had come, what happened next? After the shepherds heard from the one angel, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," then we know the whole night sky was suddenly filled with a multitude of the heavenly hosts, all singing and praising God for Jesus' birth. "Glory to God in the highest," they sang, "and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What a sight that must have been. What an experience for those shepherds. A free night concert with perfect music and melody. It was simply, in fact, most heavenly and glorious. There has never been a concert like it since. Imagine a choir of angels, literally, without a practice. Were they ever ready to come and sing as directed by God the Father Himself? And again, you see, this was all so fitting. For Jesus, when born, though placed in a lowly animal trough for His crib in some stable or barn in Bethlehem, He was born, we know, as Prince Emmanuel. Yes, as Son of the Highest, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It was right that Jesus should receive such a most royal welcome and birthday announcement and pronouncement. For here the promised seed had come. The very one all the Old Testament had been telling about. And for whom God triune had been making preparations from the day of Adam's fall into sin. As we said already, all history is centered around this Christ child, born a king in Bethlehem. We live now in the time after His first coming. But in the time since His first coming and awaiting Jesus' second coming, we too should be thinking in anticipation for His great coming. It's now the time of grace, the time for sinners to hear and believe the gospel and to be saved and to live for the Savior in praise and honor to Him. Through Jesus the Savior is found for us peace on earth, as the angel said, and goodwill from God to us, goodwill toward men. In Christ the Savior is found, you see, reconciliation with God, the Holy One. For through Jesus' suffering, yes, even to the death of the cross, through His shed blood, is offered to you and to me, what? Complete forgiveness of all our sins, everlasting righteousness before God, and the free gift of eternal life in heaven. With Christmas, there's a lot of gift exchange between people, and that's fine, that's fun and good. But no gift counts for much of anything without knowing and receiving the gift, the free gift of God as revealed in Jesus Christ the Savior. Paul writes thus in Romans 6:23, doesn't he? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God, the same apostle says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I say the angel's part in the whole of Luke 2:120 account makes the gospel message of this passage so much clearer. It all makes so much sense too. This surprise of God with the angels, with Jesus' birth, is all so fitting. And it proclaims, doesn't it, to us so much the more, Jesus' infinite worth, come as Messiah King, Savior of sinners to this world. What is so special and amazing with this passage too is the whole telling of the good news of Jesus' birth first to those lowly shepherds, our fifth point. When parents have a baby, they usually make a list who they all will call when the baby's born. Well, look who's on the top of God's list when baby Jesus is born. As the first to be told on God's list are just some lowly shepherds, some farmhands on their night shift somewhere outside of Bethlehem. Oh, as the angel had said, the message would be for all people. But it is telling, isn't it, who first gets to hear it? You don't have to be great and famous to be recipients of the good news. No, whoever you are, whatever your place and station in life, whether poor or rich, educated or not educated, man or woman, boy or girl, from whatever tribe or tongue or nation, this news is meant for you. It's meant for all. Let the needy come. Let the sinner come. Let the hopeless and helpless, the sad and the lonely come to Jesus. He invites you to come for His salvation from start to finish, all for free, for you, for Jesus' sake. The shepherds were the first to know. We can learn so much too from the shepherds' response to the angel's message to them. They went with haste, as verse 16 tells us, to Bethlehem, with haste, to see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to them. Oh, let no one delay in coming to Jesus. No, come with haste, one and all, and investigate for yourself the gospel truth concerning Jesus the Savior. How much we need Him to save us from our sins, and how He alone is able fully and freely, surely and forever, to save sinners like you and like me. The shepherds were not disappointed, and no one is who comes to Jesus. The shepherds couldn't keep quiet either, could they, about the good news that they heard and saw. They told all about Jesus and His glorious coming finally as they returned from seeing the Christ child. They made known abroad the gospel tidings to whoever would hear. What about you and me? Isn't the same our calling as Christian church and as confessing believers? May God by His Spirit and Word bless us and motivate you and me, enabling and equipping and enthusing us in our daily life and walk to bear witness of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. For what hope is there for anyone apart from Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord? Isn't there good reason, dear congregation, isn't there good reason when Christians this Christmas 2013 to say with one of old, "My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth the honors of thy name." Yes, let's so pray and work too with Christ's first coming in our rear view mirror and his second coming in our front view daily. Oh, many more yet also here in Calgary come with haste to Jesus while it's still the day of grace. Yes, also through our personal and corporate witness and testimony concerning Jesus, the ever-living Savior of sinners, the only Savior, born in Bethlehem, as Luke chapter 2 tells us. Truly, it's also very amazing what Luke 2 in the first 20 verses all tells us. Also, yes, point number 6, what Luke tells us, how that Mother Mary pondered all those things which she experienced and heard and saw ever since she was chosen by God as the mother of the Christ child. Can you imagine all the many wonders she had to absorb and all that she mulled over and could meditate on? Prayerfully thinking through all the matters, also Mary as mother came to know her miraculous firstborn son as the Savior of sinners, also for herself. How wonderful Mary's testimony concerning Jesus, as told already in Luke 1. "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Isn't it amazing too, how Mary's ponderings of her heart, no doubt would have given so much first-hand material for Dr. Luke in his writing of the whole gospel story. Those things which are surely believed among us, as he puts it in Luke 1, verse 1. Don't you think as well? A lot of Luke 2 details quite possibly came to Luke through Mary's telling him all those amazing gospel facts and truths that she had been pondering in her heart for so many years. All I trust you agree with me, it's just all so amazing what Luke 2, 1 to 20 all has to tell us. Indeed, lastly, let's notice this passage is all so amazing. Not only thinking of the points mentioned so far, the decree that was made, the Bethlehem trip that was taken, the situation when Jesus was born, the angels that told the news, the shepherds who saw the Christ child, Mary who pondered it all. But consider too our seventh and last point, very briefly, just the unending good news with Jesus coming. Jesus' birth was the fulfillment of so many promises. And his coming to serve as Savior of sinners would prove to show all God's gospel promises to sinners like us are forever true and sure. In and with Christ Jesus, come into this world in the day He came and in the way He came and for what He came and how He perfectly fulfilled and accomplished all He came for. Oh, it all proclaims loud and clear, you see, how in and with Christ, you and I have the perfect, most priceless, gracious, glorious, all-sufficient Savior of sinners. We need none other. Jesus, everything for us that we need. Without Jesus as your and my Savior, our situation now and forever is hopeless, as guilty, vile sinners by nature. But with Him, we have full and free salvation, counting for everything, for body and soul, in life and death, in this time already, and counting for everything so much the more in the life beyond. Beyond our wildest dreams even. And that forever. So the Bible calls all to repent and believe on this Jesus, the Savior. And this is what all God's people do. By God's grace, through faith, worked by the Spirit. They are led to this. And they are known by ever trusting and following after Christ in spirit and truth. And glorying in Him. And you will do this with me too today, won't you? That's what we're here for, aren't we? To glory in Him, even just in His birth. Oh God, so bless this gospel message now on Luke 2, 1 to 20, convincing and comforting us all with how wondrously and endlessly amazing the message of the 20 verses are and remain as God's holy inspired word for all generations. So yes, in conclusion, once more, dear congregation belonging to Christ, don't you agree with me and joyfully testify with me? It's just so very amazing, the story of Jesus' birth, when to the earth He came for evil sinners to save. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. Oh, come and let us worship promised seed Emmanuel, Jesus Redeemer, the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just so very amazing, this taxation by Caesar, their trip to Bethlehem as foretold by Micah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. For so it was, Jesus' birth. Stables, manger, His crib. Great royal Son of David. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. Angelic song in praises to shepherds in the dark and ponderings of Mary's. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just so very amazing. God's dearly beloved Son, for salvation complete, Jesus Himself, our peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's all so very amazing. 20 verses of gospel. Sacred, glorious facts. Oh, bow down, love, and adore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.